The words of the psalm that we sang before said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. At 8.9 on the Richter scale, nothing is going to stop your foot being moved. The earth violently convulses. It heaves and buckles, it jumps and lurches. Not only is your foot moved, you are tossed around like a rag doll. Things come crashing down on top of you. I lift my eyes to the hills. And the hills shudder and quake, the mountains split and crumble. The seas come rushing in, smashing and splintering everything in their path, and turning towns and cities into a choking soup of churning debris, a surging torrent of death and destruction. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Well, maybe the moon won't get you, but what of earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and cyclones and bushfires? What of nuclear meltdowns and riots and wars? I don't recommend standing on a street in Tokyo or Christchurch or Tripoli or even Kerrang and announcing that the Lord is your keeper who will not let the natural elements strike you, who will not let your foot be moved. How could such words sound like anything but some kind of callous denial to mothers grieving their crushed children, or to someone who may hear you as they lie dying, still trapped and undetected beneath the rubble? What are we to make of this psalm then? Are we to tear it from our Bibles? Discard it as pious optimism proved wrong by subsequent events? How can we go on singing it when disasters seem to roll in one after the other to mock the words and ridicule the sentiments? Most of us here have not been directly touched, but we know people who have, and we could easily have been. It is far too random to seriously claim that we have been specially protected. My help comes from the Lord, but others fall outside God's care. The falling debris fall on the good and bad alike. Christian, Muslim, Buddhist and neo-Nazi terrorists are all just as likely to be struck down or just as likely to be randomly spared. There is little doubt that this psalm was written as an expression of pious optimism. In times of peace and prosperity and security, it is natural to give thanks to God and imagine that the good times are rolling on because God is pleased with us and is looking after us. And it is easy to imagine that if we remain faithful, God will keep us safe and secure. I'm sure that this psalm originally came from just such a place. From a kind of simplistic faith that godliness ensures our safety and that God will not let any tragedy befall us. But in these last few months, it has been pretty much impossible to hold the front page of the newspaper in one hand and this psalm in the other and continue to hold the naive optimism that seems to have gripped the writer at the time of writing the psalm. What are we to make of it then? Are we to tear it from our Bibles? One thing that is certainly true of any bit of writing, biblical or otherwise, is that what the writer intended to convey does not close the book on what is actually said. Scripture is living and active, and what it conveys at any given time owes more to the work of the Spirit and the context of the readers or hearers than it does to the anonymous individual who first penned the lines. This psalm is probably second only to the 23rd in its popularity and familiarity. But mostly it's not actually sung or recited in times of blessing and security. It's a favourite in times of danger and threat. It is a favourite in times of grief and loss. It's the second most popular funeral psalm, and it makes frequent appearances at vigils in times of crisis. On one level, this could be just naive wishfulness again. Oh God, in the midst of chaos and danger, we wish you would make this psalm ring true again. But there's something more going on. Something has happened to this psalm and others like it. Something about how it has been used and who it has been used by has changed the way it speaks. This started long ago with it being gathered into the book of Psalms. Ever since, it sits alongside other psalms and is understood in relation to them, not in isolation. And in the simple, naive level, they do clash and contradict each other. This psalm claims that God neither sleeps nor slumbers, while alongside it, others accuse God openly of sleeping on the watch and letting enemies and disasters overrun us. This one claims that the sun will not strike us, while another one speaks of being so parched in the desert that our tongues stick to the roofs of our mouths. So the naive optimism that does accurately reflect how we sometimes feel is not allowed to stand alone unchallenged. No one psalm captures and expresses the whole range of human experience. And real life experience is often a bewildering juxtaposition of conflicting emotions and seemingly incompatible beliefs. And the book of Psalms is as good a reflection of the whole range of that as you're ever going to find. Something else has happened to these psalms too. Jesus has not only used the psalms in prayer himself, but he has become the lens through which we read them. Jesus quoted the psalms often. He would have prayed them more often. He probably knew most of them, perhaps all of them, by heart. They were the language and rhythm of his prayer. But he certainly didn't just live them at any simple, naive level. When Jesus says, "My help comes from the Lord," he does so while standing before Pilate with a death sentence hanging over his head. When Jesus says, "The Lord will not let your foot be moved," he does so while struggling to stand firm before the onslaught of the devil's demonic temptations in the wilderness. When Jesus says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore," he does so while hanging on a cross on nails driven through his flesh. And so now, when we pray these psalms, we do so with the whole story of Jesus underpinning them. No longer do we pray from some pious wishfulness that expects God to exempt us from the sufferings of the world. Instead, we pray in and through Jesus, whose response to tragedy and suffering is to step into the midst of it and bear its full force in solidarity with the countless victims of every time and place. The Psalms are gathered up into the story of Jesus, into his suffering, death, and resurrection. They become prayers that do not deny or avoid suffering, but prayers grounded in suffering and finding hope in a God who does not allow the quaking earth and crumbling buildings to have the last say over our fate. Though thousands are lost to us in the chaos and debris, no one is lost from God's love and care. No one is swept beyond the reach of God's mercy. No one is buried so deep that God cannot raise them. When God in Christ suffers the agony of a tortured death and rises from the grave to new life, death's power to have the final word is broken. Love and mercy will continue to rise again. And the loves that we have known and lost will continue to beckon us towards life in all its fullness. The Lord is your keeper and a shade at your right hand, not miraculously preventing any suffering from touching you, but leading you on a path through it, on through the charred valley of despair, to the place where love rises and life is rebuilt, and no one's death or suffering is forgotten, and no one's tragedy is without resurrection. I lift up my eyes to the hills, and they shudder and crumble. I scan my eyes across the oceans, and they surge and roar and devour. I lift my eyes to the skies, and they send down pouring rain until everything is submerged. From where will my help come? Neither from machines, nor reactors, nor equipment, not from ingenuity or expertise or planning, and certainly not from some miraculous exemption just for you and me. Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, from the Lord who stands with us in solidarity and bears our suffering and fear and grief with us, and who rises again to break death's grip and wrest us from its clutches. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.